an investment. Now there's a lot of statistics.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Statistics on how many jobs are created out of it. I think since we started this private equity journey in 20 years ago, there's been about 44,000 jobs created through private...
Cumulatively.
Yes, through private equity investments over the period. So, and there's more potential. And now we're going to look at how pensions links to that as well. Because pension funds are allowed to invest up to 15% of their AUM in this alternative asset class, which is private funds. Now, that means that the more we invest in SMEs and grow jobs, the more the jobs created will have people that are employed and are contributing to pensions. So as we're growing the jobs, we're also growing the pension contributions. And if we're channeling the 15% into private funds, then we're helping that cycle of growth. Growth in the allocated funds, growth in the number of SMEs that are being funded, and growth in job creation, and then growth in the pension fund AUM as well. So it's a good value chain that we're looking at. And so this is how Ghana can gradually reduce dependence on foreign capital and build stronger domestic investment systems, which are self-sustaining and which are sustainable. So for Ghana, domestic capital mobilization through pension funds and institutional investors must become a central pillar of our economic strategy. Mm-hmm. And private equity and venture capital investment provide one of the most effective mechanisms for achieving that. And then let's look at also the revenue creation and the expansion. Another major benefit of private equity and VC investment, venture capital investment, is its contribution to revenue generation and tax. So we're talking about job creation. The more businesses are able to scale, grow bigger, the more these businesses will increase their revenues, pay more corporate tax, VAT collections will increase. Also, the job creation brings more payroll taxes as well, and withholding taxes. So one of Ghana's core fiscal challenges is not the tax rate. It's actually how narrow our tax base is. And so if we're growing these sustainable SMEs, they're going to be paying taxes. They're going to be creating jobs. Employees are going to be paying taxes. So it's all an ecosystem building story here, where everything leads to the growth of the economy. And we need to look at it like that, not just as a standalone investment vehicle.
And I suppose that it would also, even beyond the generation of taxes and jobs and all of that, it will help to reduce the import-export imbalance as well.
Exactly.
Which has been a big conversation,
Exactly. If you look at the investments that the private equity and venture capital companies invest in, you see a lot of them are in agri-tech, a lot of them are in fintech, and they're helping to really create that sustainable economic flow of goods and services that we need in Ghana to grow our economy.
There was a conversation I was involved in, I think last week or so. It was in a different topic area, but the question was on regionalism and whether or not as a country and as a continent, whether we're making strides, because we seem to go forward one step and we come back one. But then we agree that small movement is better than no movement.
Yeah.
So on that premise, would you suppose that all the gains we have made so far, it's impressive, but we could have done more, right?
Yes.
But it's getting better.
It is getting better.
And
we've come a very long way.
And that's a story we want to put out there.
Yes.
It's getting better.
And there's a potential to do more.
Right.
If we look at our pension AUM, we have 108 billion CDs in pension AUM. Mm. We have 350 million in regional consumers. Mm-hmm. And we have 20 years of experience in private equity that we've built over time. So if we look at Ghana, we're looking at Ghana as a gateway to West Africa, then we need to look at how we're going to have businesses that are going to fuel the demand as for export and also for our domestic consumption. So lastly, I think I'll just go straight to how the private equity and venture capital investments can also strengthen our capital markets. Because a mature ecosystem will strengthen our broader financial markets, and businesses will eventually look at growing so that they can list on the stock exchange, they can issue bonds, there'll be acquisitions and there'll be mergers and other financing structures that will build the ecosystem. The capital markets will, ecosystem will become more sophisticated and will have financial systems that work and that match international financial systems. So if we look at Mauritius, for example, what they've got is that they've got a strong financial services ecosystem, and that alone is driving traffic into Mauritius. A lot of funds want to domicile in Mauritius because they have intentionally created an ecosystem that is thriving and that attracts domiciliation. So we need to look at how venture capital and private equity can also help beyond the individual investments and the profits that we'll get individually, but how to contribute to modernizing our financial sector as well. And that will also drive domiciliation, will drive it, the revenue into the country as well. So we've linked all the benefits together. And then now let's look at the value proposition and why we what the legal and regulatory ecosystem should look like. And these are some of the interventions that we need to make. So we have some important legal and regulatory gaps that need to be filled. And that's constraining the growth of private capital investment in Ghana. Several reforms are needed to position Ghana, even though we're doing well. When we did the study on domiciliation, Ghana ranked in the middle, about fourth, after Rwanda, South Africa, and Mauritius. So we're not doing too bad.
Too badly.
But then there's some work that we need to do to make it even better. Some of the things that we need to do is to strengthen, to have a limited partnerships framework. And this will expand the permissible fund structures so that more investors will be comfortable with investing in the private funds, because that helps to return capital faster. Also, we need to improve our tax incentives. We're doing marginally well. We have some tax incentive, 5% tax, 5-year tax holidays, 1% on interest and dividends in a private fund investment. But we can do better. And if we look at Mauritius and Rwanda, they are very intentional about these things. They're putting in incentives that are drawing
attracting funds
yes,
to them.
And it requires intentionality. We need to really look at it in that way. And not just look at it as losing revenue, but then look at the value proposition that we've spoken about, the increase in the jobs, the increase in the taxes and pensions.
I was going to wait and ask this later, but granted that the opportunity cost of the additional funds coming in is a tax that we're going to pay and the big jobs that are going to be generated and all of these benefits we're going to get return on investment, how does that conversation sit or juxtapose against the unutilized capacities? I mean, we won't cut back because we're not, so we're going to put effort on both sides. I know that's what the position is, but I'd just like to hear your thoughts on, you know, we're asking for more money, we're asking the world for more money. Is the world not going to say, what are you doing with what you've got already?
So we need to use what we've got to grow what we have, and the potential is there. But the issue about taxation sits, especially with the private equity and venture capital, the funds are just pass-throughs. It's just a bridge for getting capital to the SMEs and growing the portfolio of companies. So overly taxing or taxing the funds themselves is not really very effective, because we need the capital to flow and we need the investors to be comfortable to say, you know, rather than put my money in my country or in a T-bill or in some money market instrument, let me put my money in something that grows the economy. So there's a value proposition there that we are making to the investors. And there's something that has to give to achieve that. And that's where we're saying the tax incentives by themselves are what would help investors to say, I'd rather put my money here than here.
Correct.
So countries are doing it, and it's not they are not struggling because of the tax incentives, to be honest. Mauritius is booming with activity, financial services activity and fund activity.
So how do we get there? Because somehow I feel like when I talk to my friends who are in the tax industry, and good afternoon to you, Mr. Corey, and a few of my friends in the tax industry, sometimes I get the impression that, and this is my opinion, not their opinion, that without implementation of those hard, you know, tax regimes, we would be missing out on something. But here we are having a conversation about the fact that sometimes the reverse is actually true.
Yeah, we need to widen the tax base. And by creating jobs and getting more companies that are sustainable, viable, and paying more taxes, we are widening the tax base. The informal sector needs to be formalized so that we can widen the tax base. And then, so as we look at the whole value chain, the SMEs that benefit, the informal workers that are providing supplies and goods and farming products and helping and manufacturing, we have to look at it as a way to grow that base. Formalize the informal sector participants so that we can increase the tax base. It works.
We will get there.
We also need to look at clarifying investment vehicles, not merely treating them as collective investment schemes, but helping to regulate them in a manner that develops the asset class. And in that respect, I have to say the proposed new SEC law, I hear, will address that, and we're looking forward to its promulgation. But also, we need to streamline the regulatory approvals and make sure that funds are being licensed quicker. And I've had the situation where there are investors ready to invest in a private equity fund, and it's taking, 2 years?
Source of funds? Background checks?
Exactly. To be able to, you have to do the CID check, you have to do this. And so we need to find a way to either digitize the regulation or be more effective so that we can cut down that time. Because no investor will invest in a fund that is not licensed. So the money is sitting there, is waiting, and it'll find somewhere else to go, somewhere which is more friendly to go to. So we need to also look at that. And then create, as we were talking about, create incentives for long-term institutional capital participation. Because that's the way that we're going to incentivize domestic capital holders and allocators to invest in this asset class. So it's not just about attracting foreign investment. It's about building a sustainable domestic investment ecosystem that supports our national economic goals. So there's a call to action for all policymakers, ecosystem enablers. The opportunity is now. Now, with the way where Ghana is positioned, the gateway to West Africa, we have growing pension AUM. We have there's a lot of track record that we have to show. And to be honest, investors do like investing in Ghana, because it's peaceful. It's a good place.
That has always been a plus.
Yes, it's always been a plus for us. And so we need to capitalize on that. And so government, regulators, institutional investors, and policymakers, we should work together so that we can create the legal, fiscal, and regulatory conditions that are conducive for private capital to thrive.
We'll come back to that point, because I want us to be able to harp a bit more on it, because once this whole thing works, based on the way you've explained it, there's a mutual benefit for all of us across the spectrum. I'm sure that our listeners will also want to be a part of this, because it's getting really exciting. If you've just tuned in, this is Masterclass here on your superstation Joy 99.7. We're here with Mami Tutua Dutton, Managing Partner for Stafford Law, and she's sharing some really wonderful thoughts with us on the fiscal, legal, and regulatory case for private capital investment funds. We'll take a quick message from our sponsors. When we come back, we get interactive.
Your favorite on-air business development program, Joy Business Masterclass, is in session. And you can interact with us on Facebook via the Joy 99.7 FM or Joy Business pages. If you tweet, the handle is at Joy997FM or at JoyBusinessGH. Don't forget to hashtag JB Masterclass. You can also call us on 0302-216541 or send your questions and contributions through to the WhatsApp number 0551-111997, and our facilitators will address your concerns. Attention everyone, class is in progress.
Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, this is Masterclass. We're interactive right now. Numbers to call 0302-216-541. That's 0302-216-541. You can also send us your comments on 055-111-997. That's 055-111-997. If you're driving, please do not text while you drive. We definitely want you to arrive alive. But otherwise, send us those comments on 055-111-997. Or pick up that phone, give us a call on 0302-216-541. A lot of money available for our businesses to grow our country and make our economy strong. Here are some announcements for your attention. The 10th Ghana CEO Summit and Expo. Hello, CEOs. Ghana's foremost thought leadership conference proudly marks a decade of shaping business and economic transformation. Join us at the 10th Ghana CEO Summit and Expo on Thursday, 28th of May, 2026, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the prestigious Kempinski Hotel, Gold Coast City, Accra. This milestone edition is themed Accelerating Ghana's Economic Transformation, Driving Bold Reforms Through Leadership, Technology and Industrialization, From Vision to Action. His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, President of the Republic of Ghana, will attend as special guest of honor and officially launch the CEO Government Compact 2026. Summit highlights include the Presidential CEO Business Dialogue, CEO Masterclasses and Business Case Panels, CEO Connect and Corporate Expo, CEO Government Compact 2026 launch. Be part of conversations shaping Ghana's economic future. Register now at www.ghanaceosummit.com or call 054-639-1970. That's 054-639-1970. You can also email on info@ghanaceosummit.com. This information is powered by the CEO Network Ghana and is in partnership with Deloitte, PwC, EY, Margins ID Group, KGL Group, GIPC, SIGA, University of Ghana, the Medical Media General, beg your pardon, and Multimedia Group. The 10th Ghana CEO Summit and Expo, a decade of leadership impact, a future of possibilities. Terms and conditions apply. Phone lines are still open. Numbers to call 0302-216-541. Or you can send us your comments on 055-111-1997. We're having a bit of technical difficulty with our live streaming. So if you're following us on Facebook or on YouTube, we are having some technical difficulty with the streaming. But by all means, we want to hear your voice or your thoughts, what you have to say. Give us that call, 0302-216-541. While we're waiting for those phone lines to start ringing and those comments to come through, being a member of the GBC, tell us a bit about what the GBC has been doing and what you reckon the government can do to help. Because that's what this whole thing is about. It's about driving awareness, bringing attention to the conversation. So you are a member of the GVCA. Amma was here last week. Tell us what the GVCA is doing to support this whole agenda, this whole drive, and what recommendations we have, or what we think the government can do to help.
Okay.
The government is listening.
So the Ghana Venture Capital and Private Equity Association is an industry association of private equity and venture capital companies. I work on the technical committee, and there's a lot of advocacy work, training for SMEs, pension fund managers that the association engages in. Also, in terms of policy, we're trying to drive policy that makes domiciliation in Ghana worthwhile.
Right.
So we're trying to get policymakers to look at this asset class.
Right.
And look at how we can improve the legal and regulatory framework that we're working in.
I know that by all means, my phone lines are going to start ringing very soon. I just put the phone lines out again. Numbers are to call, we're interactive right now. So our numbers to call, you can ring us on 0302. That's 216-541. That's 0302-216-541. Or you can send us your comments on 055-111-1997. By all means, pick up that phone, give us a call. Last week, we had a couple of calls from our listeners wanting to find out how they could access of that over 1 billion Ghana cedis available cumulatively in all of the venture capital companies. Only about 1% of it is out there, and we want to be able to push that more. While we're attracting some more money from outside of Ghana, we also want to be able to push the money that's here into industry so that we can grow our countries as well. So you were still talking about the recommendations.
Yes. So we're looking at government helping to get a limited partnerships act immediately. We've been working with the Venture Capital Trust Fund and the Ministry of Finance and Securities and Exchange Commission to set up a technical committee so that we can quickly have that law passed. That would help significantly to expand the permissible fund structures.
And what would that law seek to do specifically?
Okay. So limited partnerships is, at the moment, private funds are set up as limited liability companies. Mm-hmm. And limited liability companies, by their nature, have perpetual existence. Mm-hmm. But private equity investors are used to a vehicle that is 10 years plus maybe one maximum 12 years in which their investment grows and then their capital is returned to them. We don't really have that in a company limited by shares because it's long-term capital, it's locked in, and to be able to return the capital, there are a lot of financial mechanisms that need to happen. So a lot of investors are unfamiliar with that, especially the international investors.
And
So because of that, that lack of familiarity also makes them hesitant to invest in investment funds. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's interesting that you mentioned that. So apart from the law you talk about on the limited funds, what else can the government do to help?
We're also looking at and talking to SEC. I hear the new SEC law is going to deal with a lot of the issues. Regulating private funds as they should be. And it also includes streamlining the regulatory process. We spoke about it, the licensing process, so that investors don't have to wait so long to put money into Ghanaian funds. So we're looking at working with SEC as well to make sure that the new law that comes out adequately addresses that issue. So that's one of the things that we are also looking at. But generally also to expand the tax incentive.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's as we discussed, and make sure that that assets class is understood as only a pass-through for growing SMEs, and so that the tax nature of the tax treatment of it is not so harsh so as to become prohibitive for investors to invest.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think that submission there is apt, because I suppose that one of the other questions I had, backstage before we got on air, was that, without being too specific, it appears that there seems to be a certain need to grow the confidence in that industry again. Where, I mean, there's pension funds, we talked about it, there's other funds, you know, that channel their way back into some of these private equity funds. What's should I say, the view or the opinion of the GVCA on the confidence levels these days and how we can make those confidence levels better in placing money?
I think the discussion today is about understanding the value that private investment funds bring. And so we're looking not just at returns, short-term returns. We're looking at long-term returns, growth orientation. When you invest in growth, you're investing in a long-term thing. Also, the improvement in the governance and operational support that is given to companies. So we have to look at it not just about what percentage interest am I getting when I invest in
business. Again, I think my question was not even about return on investment. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, certain experiences have taken place recently. And so the confidence in that market has been affected. You know what I'm talking about?
The confidence not in private capital, not in private funds.
But pensions.
Pension funds invest in private capital. So we're helping them to expand their the profit, their profitability.
Right.
Yes. So pension. So we're not consumers are not investing directly in private funds. By the way,
right.
private funds are for qualified investors. That is sophisticated investors and usually institutional investors. So it's not for everybody. But then the experience with private funds. It has been good. We've grown the industry. We're looking at it in terms of the impact that it has made. And investors are getting their returns. And these are institutional investors. They are getting their capital return. They are also getting their hurdles as well. So it's generally profitable for investors that invest in it. But then we are looking at also the knuckle, all the spiraling effect on the economy generally. Because, of course, the investors also pay tax. There's withholding tax on interest, on dividends.
Yeah.
And so all that is coming into the economy, which is growing.
I think there's a comment on social media here. I didn't quite get the name, but it says that, I think it's a two-part question. This one says, what are the necessary conditions for private equity growth in Ghana, and what are some of the key barriers that prevent the formation of partnerships? Okay, I didn't see that. It says, what are the key barriers that prevent the formation of partnership businesses in Ghana?
Okay, I'll talk about the conditions for the economic growth of private.
Right.
So in the study on Africa as a jurisdiction for domiciliation of private investment.
Which is the study that you did.
Which is a study that we worked for MasterCard Foundation. We looked at 13 African jurisdictions. But before that, we spoke to investors to find out from them what would make a country ideal for them to back a fund that is domiciled. And they looked at several things. The tax efficiency, the tax transparency. They want to see operational efficiency. There has to be investment banks, custodians, lawyers, audit firms that will support the ecosystem. They are also looking at the judicial system and how disputes are settled, and looking at the regulatory framework. How certain is regulation? Will regulation change in the middle of their investment such that it doesn't make sense anymore for them to regulate? So these are some of the things that investors are looking at. And so we looked at all the 13 countries and how they are doing on their maturity towards achieving these. And that's why I was saying Ghana plays fourth after countries like Mauritius, South Africa, Rwanda. But we also realize that it takes a lot of intentionality around creating that ecosystem. And so while Ghana is doing well, to be honest, Ghana is not doing badly, but we can do a lot more to make sure that we're competitive.
I think that earlier on in your submission, there's another question. I can't see that clearly. Okay, that's been typed up. But on the back of that question, you know, earlier on in your submission, you talked about the fact that there is, it takes about 2 years or more for funds to be cleared to make their way into our system here. How does that concern sit against the fact that increasingly across the world, while the world is growing and all the positives, it appears that there is also some increased financial indiscipline in all its forms and shapes? FATCA on my mind, you know, which affected policy, and a lot of those other AML, you know, initiatives that have come through compliance and all of that. I'll hold that question. I think I'm going to call her on the line.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Masterclass. Your name and where you're calling from.
Hello. My name is Chidiak.
Ah, my brother. How are you doing?
Good.
It's good to hear from you. Talk to me.
Yeah. I want to know from the madam, what is keeping Ghanaian rich men forming consortium to take over our oil blocks like mining companies? What is really holding them back? Because you cannot hear Ghanaian rich men bringing their riches together, their monies together, take over these big investing companies. What is the problem? I want to know from her.
Right. Thank you, Chidiak. Please keep listening. He wants to know from where you sit, whether you have insight into what some of the reasons are, why some of our rather wealthy citizens are not making inroads or do not appear to to making inroads. Let me not say they are not making inroads. They do not appear to be making inroads.
Okay, so I think he's talking about high net worth.
That's correct.
Investors. Now, there has to be structures. So a high net worth person will not be able to walk to a large mining company and say, here, take this money. They want to invest within structures and so that they can get the protections that the structures provide for them. So they have the opportunity to buy on the, stock exchange. Yeah. Exactly. On the stock exchange, for example. But the activity, and that's what I was talking about, when we are growing the ecosystem, there's a lot of activity on our stock exchange because there's secondary markets. But there's also other capital pools like crowdfunding. Recently, the Securities and Exchange Commission, I think 2 years ago, they passed the crowdfunding guidelines. And that is to help businesses to crowd in funding, and we can use that to target diaspora investments. We can use that to target small pools of investors, angel investors that need to, that want to put their money to invest in businesses. But then the structures have to be there because we don't want people's monies to get lost. And one person
or locked up.
Yes, when two people lose their money, the story is that hey, don't invest in. So it's a balance, and that's
so it's
why,
more the processes and structures around it,
yes,
which need to be understood,
yes,
and adhered to. And sometimes they come across, my brother Chidi, like, I know you'd love to continue this conversation, but sometimes it may come across as being too stringent, which is one of the questions we got last week. Like, how do we access? Yeah, you're saying all of this money is sitting there. How do we get to it? And that's what Amma talked about, yep, you know, last week, about being business ready,
okay,
responsible practices, understanding the system and how it works and all of that. So we'll get there.
Yeah,
we'll
and that's
there.
One of the blocks in the the funnel that we need to unlock.
Mm.
And more businesses need to get technical assistance so that they can be investment ready.
I mean, I was asking for your thoughts on the increasing financial indiscipline across the world vis-a-vis the long time it seems to take for funds to be cleared to enter our system.
Yeah, and we totally understand that SEC needs to make sure that investors are protected.
Yeah.
But what we need to look at is efficiency. These investors that invest in private funds are sophisticated investors.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not lie about it. They are not your regular investors. They are very sophisticated investors who know how to invest. So they know their risk. But more importantly, they would have done a lot of due diligence on the funds before they invest in them. So that other level of delay is sometimes not necessary. But we also, it's also because the fund manager has to be licensed and the fund has to be licensed. So we're having two licenses. And it's most times it's back to back.
Yeah.
You license the fund manager, then you license the fund. And the time that it takes to license two entities.
And these are 10-year based licenses.
Yes.
They're not perpetuity.
No, they are not perpetuity. But I hear the new SEC law is going to cure that. So they're going to be. Yeah, so
let me ask you this last one, and then we can sort of round up our conversation today. Again, it's coming back to the recommendations that we made, and again, because this is what is key regarding the, you know, the set of conversations we have had leading up to today, and as we go, I want that to be the last thing on our minds. Post IMF exit news and all of that, I know you've talked about a few things that the government can do, but are there any additional thoughts you want to add to sort of drive the point home a bit stronger? And then, of course, after that, you can sort of round up our conversation and I take out for today,
okay,
if you will.
Yeah. I think we need to be really intentional about building sustainable businesses in Ghana. And if we're going to do that, and even with a 24-hour economy, we need to look at how we're going to finance these businesses. And so government cannot be the only financier for businesses. So we need to grow the private capital investment ecosystem so that we can get more money into businesses, so that we can grow jobs, pensions, tax revenues, innovation, enterprise scaling, and also the capital markets.
If we remember nothing from today's conversation, what should we remember? I'll take out.
I'll take away.
Yes.
Is that we must all work together, both the institutional capital providers, regulators, and that's the call to action that we have to think about so that we can build the right legal and fiscal and regulatory environment necessary for private capital to drive in Ghana.
Mami Tutua Datsun, Managing Partner at Stafford Law, talking to us about the fiscal, legal, regulatory case for private capital investments. I've enjoyed that conversation thoroughly. I hope you have as well. This has been Masterclass. Thank you so much for joining us. If the Eid does not fall on Friday, then we're back on Wednesday. But otherwise, this is a wrap on the partnership we have had with the GVCA.
Thank you very much, Yael, for having me.
Thank you, Amma. Thank you, Mami, coming through, and the rest of the team who came through. And hopefully we'll see you again.
Right.
Sometime during the year.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
See you same time.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.